Hey, and welcome to Journey Church Eva. Our mission here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Christ so you can make a difference in your world. We would love to hear from you. Check out the show notes for a link to send us an email and a link if you want to give. There's also a link for prayer requests. We have a prayer team that will touch God on your behalf, so send us those prayer requests and let's all watch God move in your life together. You will also find the like, comment, and the subscribe buttons below. Go ahead, hit all three of them. But most importantly, we want you to hit the share button and let's send this message to those of your friends and family that may need some encouragement today. Now, here's today's message. We hope it blesses you, challenges you, and helps you grow stronger in your walk with Jesus.
Who all wants to speak a little bit of Swahili? About 1% of you. You know. All right, everybody say this. Katika. Jina. La Yesu. Bwana. Asafiwe. Mungu. Abariki. Now, anybody want to know what you just said? You all just pledged $100 a month to my ministry. God heard you. Actually, you said, in the name of Jesus, praise the Lord, and God bless you all. So that's what you actually just said. So, hey, I am excited this morning because, for a number of reasons, but my daughter-in-law, Anna and Kristen are here, and then there's Cade, my oldest grandson, and then there's Rhea right there, and then there is Gaines, also known as Bug, and they came this morning. They did the backstroke getting over here, you know, and we've already seen a miracle. They got here before the music was over. Amen. Hey, I'm just going to take just a couple of minutes and update you a little bit on Kenya. Would you like to hear that? He said Uganda and Tanzania, and neither one of those apply. But anyway, you know, it's all East Africa, right? You know, I have been to those places, and we did talk about those places the other day. So let me just give you an update real quick. I was supposed to be there in August and a little bit into September, but because of the pandemic again, the virus. How many of you know that virus is from the devil? It is from the devil. People, you know, we had to cancel for the fifth time in a row. And our trip over there, I had somebody tell me, they said, well, you know, God, you know, sometimes he protects us and we don't even know. That's not God. God is not protecting me from doing his will. That is, Paul said, Paul told the church at Thessalonica, he said, I have been trying to get to you, but the devil has hindered me. And I quit praying against the virus, and I started praying against the devil hindering us. So we're planning on leaving November the 22nd, and we'll be back. We'll leave there on November the 22nd. Did I say December? Okay, November 22nd, and then we'll be back on leave Kenya December the 14th. But let me tell you what I'm going to do, or what I'm in the process of doing. We, so far this year, even though we've not been able to go, I've been sending money to buy Bibles, and we've bought in Kenya and in Rwanda together, we've bought 1,315 Bibles so far. Now, what I'm working on is I am trying to raise, and I'm going to. I need about $2,500 more, actually. And I'm going to buy, when I go in November, I'm going to buy another 1,000 Bibles. And see, my plan, I gave the 1,300, but I want to give double. I'm calling it double for the trouble, okay? So I turn 65 years old this coming Tuesday, And so I've asked for 65 of my friends to give $100. And I thought that could be done. Well, I'm at 6,200 and something now, you know. And no, 6,400. So, you know, I just need about another $2,500. So I feel the Lord is telling me, Stuart, that you should. No. Hey, if God told me to tell you to do it, he's going to provide, right? So, but, you know, I just believe it's going to come in. I'm not worried about it. So we're going to buy another 1,000 when we get there in November. And I'm just believing God for that. And I'm excited about what God is doing in Africa. I'll tell you this one last thing real quick. If the Lord doesn't come back, and I believe he will, before another 20 years or so, they're projecting that because of the move of God that's happening on the continent of Africa, that there will be more Christians on the continent of Africa than there are unbelievers. It will be the first Christianized continent in the world. And so don't believe all that stuff you hear about Islam. They would be doing a whole lot better if they just quit blowing themselves up. Your future is not that bright when you're wearing a bomb vest, a suicide vest. I may get kicked out for saying this, but if you're wearing a bomb vest, I don't know how much more stupid you can be and still breathe oxygen. I'm glad that my God says for me to live for him, not to die for him. I'm a whole lot better being a living witness than I'm a dead sacrifice. So, okay, all right. I got a very exciting and encouraging word today, and I know you're all going to be so excited when I tell you about the title of it, because you know it just inspires people to just jump up and down and be real excited. I'm going to talk to you today about the mark of the beast. Everybody, ooh. You know, in 2017, I heard a friend of mine on Facebook Live, and she was teaching, and she stopped this short, Rodney, this short of saying that the Lord was coming back in around October of 2017. And it just aggravated me so bad that I went to work on a book about end time stuff. And I got about 32 pages into it, and I put it on hold for about 2 years. And then a couple of years ago, or last summer, actually, last summer, I had a friend of mine get in touch with me, and he said, hey, we're doing some study on the end time stuff. He said, have you got anything on the tribulation? I said, sure. I didn't, but I said, sure. And so because I knew I could come up with some stuff. And so anyway, I went over there to teach on Wednesday nights for 4 weeks, and I wound up teaching almost 2 months on those things. And so it inspired me to go ahead and get to work on the book, so I'm up to 122 pages now. It's called The End of the Age, and it's out there. It's a practical, try to make it as simple as possible, look at some end-time events. I'm not going verse by verse through Revelation, but it's just a practical look at some of the major events of the end times and hopefully bring some clarity to some things. How many of you know that we are living in the last of the last days? Anybody believe that today? I believe that we are living in the last of the last days. I've heard this my entire life. Anybody else? But I believe it more now than I ever have before. You know, Pastor and I were talking about this, and thank you, Pastor Joey, for letting me be here. I love you, buddy. I really do. You really are my brother. Don't blow kisses. I don't love you that way. I can only do that to him. You know, I need to not look at him. Because it just makes me want to go back and forth with him, but I can't do that. But it just, I don't even know what I was saying. You rocked my world. If you're watching this by internet, ain't nothing going on between us. I promise you that. He may have all the colors of the t-shirts, but it ain't got nothing to do with the rainbow thing, you know. I'm losing this real quick, right? The end is about to come. Oh, man, I'm glad my daughter had to take her baby out so she didn't have to experience that, you know. But we are living in the last of the last days, and I'll remember what I was talking about. But you know, it's just to the point right now that I know what it was. We were talking in the office, and he said, "Man, I got some friends of mine that are so pre-trib." He said that, you know, they're just freaking out over, "What are we still doing here?" You know, and I said, "Well, I'm probably one of those people, you know, because I do believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. I don't believe it's intended for the Christians, the church, to go through the tribulation, and I'm not here to preach that or anything. It's in the book, and but I believe that we are about to be taken out of here. But isn't it interesting that with the vaccine and the virus and all the things that are going on, you know, the weak leadership, not only in the United States, but in the world. Let me tell you, Benjamin Netanyahu gets beat in the Knesset by one vote, and now they have a guy in there named Naftali Bennett who is their version of weak leadership. You know, Netanyahu's idea, his response to the Muslims were, "You kill one of ours, we kill 10 of yours." You know, Bennett says, you know, "You kill one of ours and we're going to think about it." You know, so there's weak leadership all over the world. There's never been a time in the world like today. There's never been, 20 years ago, the world would not have accepted an Antichrist. Today, we will accept him with open arms because we're looking for somebody who will exhibit some leadership. And the church is going to be taken out of here. And so now we're living in these times with all the stuff that's going on. And all of a sudden, how many of you are on Facebook? Anybody in here on Facebook? Let me tell you, all of a sudden, there are Facebook theologians and Facebook prophets and Facebook knuckleheads, and if you're getting your theology from Facebook, apologize to that man right now. I put that on Facebook one time. Not apologize to him, but if you're getting your theology from Facebook, you're looking in the wrong place. And a guy said, "So is it wrong for me to put scriptures on there?" So much discussion out there today. And these Facebook prophets and these theologians, they're a dime a dozen. And I do believe that we're coming real close to the finish line right now. And the church is about to be taken out of here. And so what I want to do is I want to give you just a really quick synopsis, I guess you could say, of the book of Revelation. You want to hear the simplest version of Revelation you've ever heard? Chapter 1 is the introduction. Chapter 1 may be one of the most powerful and important chapters in the entire Bible, the chapter 1 of Revelation. It is an incredible chapter if you will take it and look at it verse by verse. Powerful. Chapters 2 and 3 deal with the time that we're living in right now. It's called the church age. The church age began on the day of Pentecost. See, the time of the Gentiles, Daniel's 483rd prophetic year ended at the cross. Jewish time ended then, or paused. It didn't end, it paused then. And we began the church age on the day of Pentecost, and the time of the Gentiles began. At the rapture of the church, the time of the Gentiles will end and Jewish time will begin when the tribulation begins. And there's 7 years left of Jewish time, according to what Daniel said in chapter 9, verse 27. 7 years left, and that'll fulfill the 490 years that Daniel prophesied. And I know that can get confusing, but you know, I'm not going to get into all that right now. We'll be there all day if I do. So, you know, what we see is the church ages and the church age in chapters 2 and 3. Chapter 4, verse 1, I believe, is the rapture of the church. After these things, after what things? The church age, the past that chapter 1 talked about. After these things, I saw an open door in heaven. What does an open door represent? Entrance. Welcome. And he said, I heard a voice that says, come up here. And it was the same voice that he heard in chapter 1. It was the voice of Jesus. Sounded like a trumpet. And when he went up into heaven, he was told, I had to bring you up here, and I'm paraphrasing, I had to bring you up here to show you the things to come. Because in chapter 1, verse 19, he says that he's going to show him things that were, the things that are, the things that were, Jesus, the Ancient of Days. We see him in chapter or verse 13 of chapter 1. Then we see, and he says, and the things which are, chapters 2 and 3, the church ages. And he says, and the things to come. The tribulation begins in chapter 6 and verse 1, where the Lamb opens the seal. And verse 2 of chapter 6 is not Jesus riding on a white horse. That's the Antichrist being released at that time. The Antichrist will come on the scene not long after the rapture of the church. And I wish I had a week. But the Antichrist will come on the scene shortly after the rapture. He will negotiate a peace deal that lasts 7 years. If you see a peace deal that Israel signs that's going to last 7 years, get on your knees and ask God to forgive you of your sins because you missed the rapture. And so he's going to negotiate this deal. He won't be known as the Antichrist at that time, but he's the Antichrist. 3.5 years later, he's going to walk into the temple, the rebuilt temple on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And he's going to sit down on the throne that they had prepared for the Messiah. And he's going to declare himself as God and say, anybody who does not worship him will be put to death. Right after that, there's going to be someone else that comes on the scene, the second beast. And if you have your Bibles, turn to chapter 13 of Revelation. And we'll get there in a second. And the second beast that comes out of the sea is the false prophet. He's basically going to be the Rodney Blackston of the tribulation, the worship leader. I didn't say you were. I said he wants to be like you. So, you know, let's look at Revelation chapter 13, verse 11. I'm going to read through 18. And this, keep in mind, this takes place 3.5 years into the tribulation. Okay? This is, there's so much. I'm trying not to just chase all the rabbits. But in chapter 13, verse 11, it says, then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. He looked like a lamb, but spoke like a dragon. How many of you know that a lamb is not a very intimidating looking animal? Have you ever looked at a lamb and thought, oh, Lord? You know, but then he spoke with the voice of the devil. So it says he looked like a lamb, had horns like a lamb, and he spoke like the dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives. That's a key right there. He deceives. When the disciples came to Jesus and we see it in Matthew chapter 24, they ask him this question, what will be the sign of the end of the age? You know what the first thing out of his mouth was? It wasn't earthquakes. It wasn't wars and rumors of wars. It wasn't pestilence. It wasn't this and that. He said, be careful that no one deceives you. We are living in a time of great deception. If you don't believe that, just watch the news this week. They are doing everything that they can to deceive us. There's so much happening in the world that's not being broadcast on the news to us that it would probably shock you. It's incredible. You can get, go ahead. You're right. She said that 92% is U.S. news. There's no real such thing as global news. And you know, you can get news out of Israel that you're looking at that and going, what? If you only knew how poised the world is right now for the Ezekiel 38 and 39 Gog and Magog war, it would blow your mind. It would absolutely blow your mind. Because I believe... All right, here goes the rabbit. I believe that shortly after the rapture, the Gog and Magog war of Ezekiel 38-39 will take place. And what it is it's going to be Russia is going to lead about 10 countries down into Israel and attack Israel. And it says it catches Israel at a time of peace. I think the better word would be security. And I don't have time for all that, but I'm just going to tell you this. Right now, that is poised to happen. Russia has over 200,000 troops. The Bible says they'll attack from the north. Russia has over 200,000 troops stationed in the border of the Ukraine. And Iran has troops over there. I don't know how many. They wear Syrian outfits because they don't want people to think they're Iranians. You know... But the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, is in there and they know what's going on. America, we have no clue. We probably have a clue, we just don't admit it. And so Russia also has 71,000 tanks sitting there. They also, in an air base in Syria, they have three backfire bombers that are nuclear planes they drop nuclear bombs. And they're poised right there just outside of Israel. And the Bible says that it's going to take 7 years to clean up the mess that God makes when he kills them all. And oh, by the way, God not only kills the invading armies, but he goes back to the countries where they come from and he kills them. Russia's going to be a no player in the tribulation. Iran is not going to be involved. Iraq, Libya, Jordan, Turkey, those places don't even count anymore after the Gog-Magog war. And let me give you a couple more stats, all right? You're going to be so excited to hear this. I know you've been wondering about it. The Bible says that the birds of prey are going to come and eat up the flesh. It's going to take 7 months to bury the dead. Right now, you're ready. I know you're excited. The turkey buzzard population in Israel for the first time in decades is growing. Everybody say, yay for the turkey buzzards. I don't know who does this, but there are people who do this kind of thing. They have found 172 different birds, species of birds of prey who have gathered in Israel right now. The cleanup crew is showing up. The cleanup crew is showing up. Google it. Google, not right now, but this afternoon. Google it. I'm not making this up. I'm not repeating what I heard somebody else say. You can Google this and find it out. But not right now. It's not on right now. You'll have to wait until they take it off until church is over. Okay. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not to worship the... Those who didn't worship the beast would be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. The beast that's coming out of the sea in chapter 1, or verse 1, is the Antichrist. And he comes representing the final world government that consists of the 10 kingdoms that are going to be put together. Everybody says, well, who are the 10 kingdoms? Stop trying to figure it out. You're not going to figure it out. So don't even worry about it. Who's the Antichrist? I don't care who the Antichrist is. You know, people say, who do you believe the Antichrist is? I believe it's Trump. I don't believe it's... If you know who the Antichrist is, get on your knees and ask God to forgive you of your sins because you have missed the rapture. Because he's not going to be revealed until after the rapture of the church. So anyway... We don't know who those 10 kingdoms are going to be. It don't even matter. In verse 11, we see another beast that comes on the scene that will assist the first beast in the conflict against God and in humanity. This beast is known as the false prophet, and he's going to direct the world population to worship the image of the Antichrist. He even comes with great signs and wonders, lying signs and wonders. Let me tell you something. People wonder about this kind of thing. The devil, don't forget this, the devil is supernatural. We see that he did some pretty incredible things throughout the Bible. He is supernatural, but what he is not is divine. And divine trumps supernatural every time. The only authority he has is what people give him. And so the devil inspires, he empowers the Antichrist and the false prophet. He's the one who does that. And so we see the false prophet will complete the evil trinity of Satan. Satan wants to be God. He's always wanted to be God. And in the tribulation, he calls himself God. The Antichrist comes on the scene. He wants to play the role of Jesus. Notice that it says that he came back from a deadly wound. He was dead, but now he's alive. And then there's the false prophet who wants to play the role of the Holy Spirit. So you have the evil trinity, unholy trinity of Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. And they're going about deceiving people and causing people to worship him. But they don't, you see, the thing about God is God's not going to force you to serve him. Isn't that good? You know, we were talking about the Holy Spirit recently in a church I was at, and you know, honestly, it was a church that didn't experience much of that. And I just frankly told them, I said, listen, you don't have to be afraid of God. God is not going to force you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's not going to force you to speak in tongues. If he was going to force you to do anything, he would force you to be saved, but he won't even do that. But the devil is so insecure that he tells people, you're going to serve me or I'm going to hunt you down and kill you. You're going to serve me or die, one of the two. That's all there is to it. He doesn't give people a choice. And let me tell you something. There will be people who will be born again. The greatest revival that the world will ever see will happen during the tribulation. Why do I say that? Because right after the Gog-Magog war, Ezekiel, we see that 144,000 Jewish witnesses, evangelists, come together. They're sealed in their forehead. They're supernaturally protected. And they are dispersed all over the world preaching the gospel. And the Bible says that when they do return to Israel, they're going to bring 10 Gentiles at least with them. And they're going to be preaching the gospel. Chapter 7, verse 9 says, there's a scene before heaven. And these are tribulation saints, a.k.a. people who got saved during the tribulation. And it's described as a number that no man can number. Those guys are going to be preaching the gospel, and the devil wants to kill them, but he cannot do it because they're supernaturally protected. And then we got the two witnesses that will show up on the first day of the second half of the tribulation. And those guys are preaching the gospel, and they're prophesying, and they're speaking the things of God. And if you don't like them, they're going to spew fire on you and burn you up. I ain't messing with them. If I was there. But I won't be, I hope. Yeah, I'm not going to be there. So, you know, Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, we read this a minute ago. It says, and all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb and slain from the foundation of the world. And a decree is going to go out and say that they're going to kill everybody who does not worship the Antichrist. There's no middle ground there. You're either going to serve him or die. You know, that's just how it is. Verse 14 says, and he deceives, there's that word again, those who dwell on earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast and who was wounded by the sword and lived. Deception has always been a very effective weapon of Satan, and it will continue to be a very effective weapon, not only during the tribulation, but at the end of the millennium. And I am not chasing that rabbit. It's interesting that even during the time of the tribulation, you know what the main emphasis is? Religion. It's a demonic, devilish, satanic religion, but it's still religion. It just shows you that religion has nothing to do with your salvation. You can be religious all you want to and bust hell wide open. It's about relationship. It's about being in the kingdom of God and serving him. Verse 16 says, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave. In other words, everyone. Got money? Don't have money. Old? Young. Well known, not even known. Everyone is going to be involved. He says, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads that no one may buy or sell except one who has a mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who understands, has understanding, calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. The false prophet introduces the mark of the beast to the world. And this is going to be a mark that says, I have pledged allegiance to Satan. To Satan. I mean, there's no recovery from this. You are recognizing Satan as your God when you take this mark. I know this is so encouraging, isn't it? What's the purpose of the mark of the beast? Number one, it's jealousy. The Antichrist cannot stand the thought that anyone would be worshiping another God other than him. You know, there's things in there that I haven't even mentioned. He wants to eliminate God from the minds of the people everywhere by removing the option of serving him. In his mind, there is no option. Number two, religious control. He wants to control everybody, every aspect of it, of the lives of people, and make no doubt about it. This is a fight for the spiritual lives of people. The devil doesn't care one bit about your spirituality once you take the mark of the beast. You're nothing to him. But you're everything to God. You are the apple of his eye. You may think you're insignificant, but I promise you, you are significant in the eyes of God. You mean something to him. Isn't that good to know? If you were the only person who needed it, Jesus would have given his life for you. That's pretty incredible, isn't it? Then number three, he wants to have economic control, by taking control of the right and the ability to buy, sell, and to obtain goods and services, he is controlling the economy. Isn't it interesting that a man in the first century, John, is writing about worldwide economic control? He was probably writing that saying, I have no idea what this is about, but I'm just writing what you tell me to write. It's crazy. For as long as I can remember, I've heard things about the mark of the beast. I told you I'm 65 coming Tuesday. I keep telling you that because I want you to buy me a birthday present. So I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. But I've lived long enough that I've seen some things. I remember, and some of you do too, when they introduced the barcodes at department stores and grocery stores and all that. It's the mark of the beast. The next thing you know, they're going to put a chip in your hand so that you wave your hand over it. It's the mark of the beast. How many of y'all remember that? They missed it. Oh, this finger snaps better. Did somebody snap their finger for me? Thank you. I appreciate the help. Did I tell you I'm going to be 65 Tuesday? But I remember that. Now, what's next? I wouldn't take that vaccine. It's the mark of the beast. You can't say it's the mark of the beast. You have to say it's the mark of the beast. Put emphasis on it. Dramatic. You know, can I break some news to you? It's not the mark of the beast. If it's the mark of the beast, they messed up when they gave it to me. Because they put the first one in my right shoulder and the second one in my left shoulder. They missed the forehead and the right hand. So I'm going to have to go back and get it redone. Why, you mean you took the mark of the beast? I mean the vaccine? Yes, I took the vaccine because I'll tell you why I did it. Because I travel, I'm in somewhere different every week, and sometimes I'm in foreign third world countries, and I want to go there, and there will probably come a time where they say, you can't enter our country if you don't have the vaccine. Well, I'm going to take the vaccine. Well, can't you trust God? I am trusting God. I trusted God before I got the vaccine that he would protect me from COVID, and he did. I trusted God when I took the vaccine, and I said, I don't believe I'm going to have any kind of after effects or side effects from it or reactions to it. I did not. I trust God. I got the vaccine. After a little while, you get used to the voice of Bill Gates in your head. It took y'all just a minute. It took y'all just a second to get that, right? Okay, Bill, I did it. All right. Yeah. I'm kidding. I am kidding. The vaccine is not. Could it be just like a test trial, a run? Sure, probably could be. You ever wondered why the right hand or the forehead? Maybe it's because some people don't have a right hand. But if you don't have a forehead, you don't need a mark. Okay, it's not going to be an option for people. And it's not going to happen until the middle of the tribulation. People who go in the rapture will never have the opportunity to have the mark of the beast. If you don't want the mark of the beast, get ready today to go in the rapture. That's the key to it. You cannot accidentally get the mark. What if I accidentally get the mark of the beast? You're not going to accidentally get the mark of the beast. How many of you are allowed to buy something right now? Anybody allowed to sell anything you want to right now? Anybody planning on buying some food today? I felt the spirit on that one. Then you've not received the mark of the beast. Now, when you walk up to a place and they say, you can't come in here without a mask, the Bible don't say anything about a mask. They'll sell you something if you have a mask on, and I'm not going there. Okay? I walked into the bank the few months ago with a mask on, and I was like, I hope they don't shoot me. I walked in, I put my hands up, I said, I'm not here to rob you. Moving right along. You can't accidentally take the mark of the beast. And believe me, you would rather die at the hands of the Antichrist than to take the mark of the beast and live for eternity in hell. The punishment of hell. No doubt. Now I hesitate to say this because I think I'm getting close to being through. No doubt there are going to be people who will say, well, if it means feeding my family, I'll take the mark of the beast and deal with the consequences. There are going to be men who will be sincere. They'll sincerely mean this. They'll say, I've got to do it in order to feed my children. You know, you ever thought about that? There are going to be people who say, I'm going to make this hard decision, and I've not been able to feed my family, so I'm going to take the mark, or perhaps a single mom, you know, I'm going to take the mark, and I'm going to sacrifice myself, and then I'm going to go to the store and get some food to feed my children. Mark chapter 13, verses 11 and 12 says, but when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak, but whatever is given you in that hour, speak that. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Now brother will betray brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise up against his parents and cause them to be put to death. When a person takes the mark of the beast, forget loving your family. When a person takes the mark of the beast, they may think that they're taking it because they love their family. But when you sell your soul to the devil, the only allegiance you have is to the devil. And those people will turn their children in, they'll turn their spouse in, they'll turn their parents in, they'll turn their brothers in. You know why? Because they don't care about them, because there's no love in their hearts, there's no compassion in their heart. There's nothing there for anybody except themselves and the one they serve. So all that nobleness about, I'm doing this for my family, is gone. It's out the window. It's over. When a person takes the mark, nothing matters anymore. Nothing matters. And I am closing with this. Let me see. I don't care about that. All right. There's a number of things that's got to take place. Here's 10 things. I'm going to go over them real quick. 10 things that have to take place before the mark of the beast is introduced. Number one, the church must be raptured and gone from the earth. Until that happens, there's no mark coming. Nothing's happening before then. Number two, Israel signs a 7-year peace treaty. I got verses to back all these up, but I'm just not going to. Well, Revelation 4:1, the first one, and then Daniel 9:27. Number three, the 144,000 Jewish evangelists must come to salvation knowledge and start working their work, Revelation chapter 7. Number four, the Antichrist breaks the treaty with Israel, Daniel 9:27. The abomination of desolation occurs, marking the end of the first half of the tribulation, and the Antichrist proclaiming himself as to be God, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Number six, the two witnesses appear in Jerusalem, Revelation chapter 11. The false prophet, number seven, the false prophet must be introduced, Revelation 13, 14, and 15. Number eight, the two witnesses are at work and they begin to release plagues on the earth. Let me tell you, these guys are amazing. They control the weather. They control the weather. And they're not even James. One of the two witnesses is not James Spann. Matter of fact, if a storm comes up, he will interrupt the Antichrist. Sorry, James. I believe James would be gone myself, personally. But they control the weather. They prophesy with great authority. And the Antichrist would love nothing better than to kill both of them. But he can't do it. Not until he's permitted. The Bible says that they will operate for 1260 days, beginning at the first day of the second half of the tribulation. And on day 1256, the Antichrist is allowed to kill them. All the cameras are focused on their dead carcasses laying in the streets of Jerusalem on day 1256. And the Antichrist is so proud of himself because he has killed the two witnesses. He's so proud of himself for that, that he keeps the cameras fixed on them for 4 days, 3 days. And on day 1260, the last day of the tribulation, they're going to sit up, life comes back into them, and they're going to stand up, and they are raptured from the streets of Jerusalem into heaven while every eye is watching them on CNN and MSNBC and Fox and so many other places on the last day of the tribulation. The last day of the tribulation is going to be a crazy day. Crazy day. Number 9, angelic ministry begins. Revelation 14, 6 and 9. 55 times in the book of Revelation, angels are mentioned. No other book comes close to that. Because the work of the angels during the tribulation is going to be phenomenal. It's going to be phenomenal. Number 10, the seventh seal is open. It releasing the unimaginable destruction on the earth. This is the beginning of the great tribulation. This is Revelation chapter 8. See, the tribulation begins chapter 6. Chapter 7 is what we call an informational chapter. Chapter 7 literally takes place over 3.5 years. That one chapter. Because it covers so much in there. Chapter 8 begins the second half of the tribulation. And it begins with what? 30 minutes of silence in heaven. And the reason for that silence is because everybody knows what's about to be released. See, Jesus said the first half of the tribulation is going to be the tribulation. The second half of the tribulation is going to be the great tribulation. And in chapter 8, when those things begin to happen there, we're going to see something happen. Let me tell you something. Pastor and I were also kind of brought this up a little bit in the office a while ago. People say, you know what? The Bible says, Jesus said that we would go through tribulation here on this earth. Every tribulation that man has suffered on the earth to this point has been man-induced. Okay? It's been the work of men who have brought tribulation onto Christians and others. During the tribulation, it's going to be the, make no mistake about this, God is a loving God, but it's going to be the judgment and the wrath of God that's poured out on the earth. You see, we believe in dispensations. The church age is the dispensation of grace. Thank God for grace. Anybody glad that there's the grace of God? Man. The grace of God is the power of God working in me, doing in me what my flesh can't do. But when the rapture takes place, that dispensation of grace closes. And the wrath of God, we see a different side of God then. We see the wrath and the judgment of God poured out on the earth. And it's not good. It's not a good thing. But we're told about it right here. It's all going to work out just like this book says it. A third of this book is prophecy. And so far, up to this point in history, everything that has been prophesied up to this point has been fulfilled. So why wouldn't I believe the rest of it is going to be fulfilled? There's no fulfilled prophecy in the Quran. There's no fulfilled prophecy in the Book of Mormon. Or whatever that thing that the Buddhist has. I can't remember the name of it. It's weird. It starts with an M. Only this is 100% accurate. I got tickled. Heard a prophet one time, quote unquote prophet. He said, "My prophecies are 80% true." 30% success in Major League Baseball will get you into the Hall of Fame. 80% success in the prophecy will get you in the Hall of Shame. It's all going to happen just like he says it is. I'm going to be ready. People say, that's just an escape mentality. You better believe it. Whatever I can do to escape the tribulation, I'm doing it. Look, not now, but look it up sometime. Luke 21:36. Jesus says it's an escape, that we may escape these things. People say, I'd never say that. I have an escape mentality. I want to escape the tribulation. Don't you get confused about the other way around. I ain't going through it. Some people said, I won't even go there. It's just too dumb. Could you do it for someone? Why would you want to? Man, the grace of God is so good that He says, come. Come. The grace of God is so good that He says, I don't care about what you've done. I don't care about where you've been. I don't care about what you've said. All I care about is that you come to me. I'm not going to kill you if you don't, but I'm going to love you anyway. He is a God of love. The Bible says God is love. It doesn't say that God has a lot of love. It doesn't say that God is mostly love. It says that God is love. And He takes all that love that there is and He pours it out on us. And He says, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. He's done everything that He can do to keep us from going through that. I was teaching one night on the 144,000, and in the middle of it, brother, Pastor, I just broke down and started crying. I literally did, and I can almost do that now. But I thought about, after everybody has rejected Him all their lives, after everybody has said no to Him all this time, that even after the rapture, He sends 144,000 guys out to preach the everlasting. Oh, I forgot to tell you. He also sends three angels out flying through the air preaching the everlasting gospel. I don't know about you, but if I wasn't saved and I looked up and saw angels flying through the air preaching the gospel, I'm buying what they're selling. He gives us two witnesses. He loves us so much that even after the rapture, He says, I'll still give you your salvation. If it were me, I'd probably say, you blew it. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. But He loves us so much I'm just going to ask you a simple question. If you're watching this on the internet, YouTube or Facebook or whatever it is that you do, I just want to take just a moment and talk to you. You might be watching this right now. Maybe you're watching this Thursday morning. Maybe you're watching this after the rapture. There's that possibility. I want to tell you something. It's not too late for you. If you're breathing oxygen, you can simply say a prayer and ask Jesus to come into your heart, forgive you of your sins, and be your Lord and Savior. It's that easy. It's that easy. Paul put it this way. He said, if you'll believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, and you'll confess with your mouth that He is Lord, you will be saved. Take all the requirements that man have put on us. Got to be a member of the church. Got to be this. Got to be that. Just ask Jesus into your heart. Say, Lord, I welcome you into my life. I want to pray a prayer with you, okay? All these people in Journey Church right now, this is an amazing church. I love this place. Man, I drove up this morning, it's pouring down rain. I had more umbrellas over me. I was bumping into people with umbrellas. Thank you, guys. That made me feel great. They're like, here, let me grab this. Let me get this. Let me get this. I love this place. But I want to tell you something. I want to pray this prayer, and everybody in here is going to pray it with us. Okay? So I'm going to ask all of you to pray this prayer. I'm going to repeat a simple prayer. And if you mean this, if you don't know that you're ready for the rapture, if you don't know that if your life was required of you today, if you're not sure that you're born again, if there's any question in your mind, I want you to pray this prayer with me and mean it, okay? And on the internet there, whoever's watching, if you pray this prayer, just simply respond. Send a message to this church. Now, I'm sure they have ways to contact. Just contact them and say, I prayed that prayer Sunday morning, and I gave my life to Jesus. If I thought it would do any good, I would get on my knees and beg you to do this. It's that important. It's that important. So would everybody in here join me as I pray with the people that are watching on the internet? Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you my life today. I ask you to forgive me of my sins and be my Lord and Savior. Help me today to overcome the sin in my life, to overcome the neglect in my life of spiritual things. Help me to love you, Lord. I believe in my heart that you are the Son of God. I confess with my mouth that you are Lord. I believe you died on the cross for me, but I also believe that you rose from the dead to give me eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for loving me and giving me eternal life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Swahili, we would say, Asante Baba. Asante Sana Baba. Thank you so much, God. Thank you so much, Father, is actually what it is. Asante Mungu is thank you, God. But whatever language that it is, you can speak Southern Fried English and say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Jesus. Guys, there's so much that is about to happen. So much that's about to happen. Let's be ready. Let's be prepared. Amen.